We've been talking about how we influence those around us. We all have a radius. We have people who share the rooms of our lives, and we all face divine interruptions when God gives us an opportunity to influence those around us. And we've been seeing how Jesus influenced those around Him and how those who follow Him follow His example of influencing the world around Him. Just this past week, I was at a coffee shop with a friend of mine named Greg. Greg attends Christian Assembly, and he and I were out to coffee, and we were standing in line waiting to order. And there was a woman standing in front of us, and Greg had his dog with him. And the woman started talking to us about Greg's dog, and then she started telling us about her dog, which she bought with a boyfriend who's now her ex-boyfriend. And so she told us about that breakup, and then she told us about her marriage that fell apart a few years ago. And pretty soon this coffee shop was sounding like the woman at the well talking to Jesus in chapter 4 of John's Gospel. And so we're talking about her kids and being a single mom. And Greg says to her at one point, "Well, hold on just a minute. This is my pastor, Matt. Matt, you need to spend some time with this one." And so we're talking, and then Greg says to her, "By the way, he told us last week that Jesus is a master inviter and that we follow his example to invite others, so I want to invite you to my church." And she said, "What church do you attend?" And he said, "Christian Assembly." And she said, "Oh, I've been to that church. Long time ago, my kids were really young, but they loved it. I haven't been in a long, long time." And I said, "Well, then you need to come back." So we'll see if she does. But we all have an influence in our radiuses. It happens in our closest friendships. It happens on the side of the freeway. It happens in coffee shops. And today I want us to think about how far-reaching your influence can be. So I want us to look at this story that's in your bulletin. It'll be on the screens as well. It's a story from the book of Acts. The New Testament has four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell us about the life of Jesus and tell us about the radius that Jesus influenced while He was on earth. And then we get to the book of Acts, and there's this little bridge in chapter 1 where Jesus has risen from the dead and He appears to the disciples, and He's about to go back to the Father, but He's going to send them out to influence their radiuses. And that's the story of the book of Acts. And that little bridge point is what we're reading today in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. He says, "So when the apostles," now these are the same guys that often we know in the Gospels as the disciples, but He's now sending them out. And that word apostle means sent one. And so He's saying, "So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking Him, 'Lord, has the time come for You to free Israel and restore our kingdom?' Jesus replied, 'The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After saying this, He was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see Him. As they strained to see Him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday He will return from heaven in the same way you saw Him go.' Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. And when they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. And here are the names of those who were present. Some of them will be familiar from the stories we've been reading in this series. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. And so this scene is this last time that Jesus is standing on earth with his disciples before he returns to his place in heaven and sends the Spirit of God as a gift to empower his believers. And Jesus gives them these last instructions that he is sending out this ragtag bunch of men and women from his radius to influence the whole world, he says, to the ends of the earth with the good news, the gospel that they received from him. Now that concept, that statement, that vision of this message of Jesus reaching the whole world is remarkable. I don't want you to miss how stunning that would have been in this context, because you and I are so used to Christianity being a major force in the world that we can forget how small it started. Jesus himself had been born in the little town of Bethlehem, raised in a backwoods place called Nazareth, and his followers were not any more impressive. So that the likelihood that this would happen, the likelihood of the message of Jesus being told all over the world was as likely as a dead man rising from the dead, rolling away a stone and walking out of his own grave. But after Jesus did just that, after the resurrection, what may have seemed like an absurd ambition was as likely as the sun rising the next morning. And in fact, indeed, it began to happen. That message of Jesus began to go all over the world, and it is happening still up to this very day. And I want to point out just three things that are true from the very beginning of that movement and are still true today as the gospel continues to sweep the globe. Three ways that you and I can continue to participate in that movement. So first, this global sweep of the gospel starts with Jesus saying to his disciples, "Look out. Look out. Look beyond yourself. Look out to the world around you." Notice how this story begins. In fact, notice what the disciples say to Jesus. "Lord, is the time come for you to free Israel?" And they say, "And restore our kingdom, our kingdom." They're saying, "Is it time for you to put us in charge? Is it time for us to get our way? Jesus, is it our time?" And Jesus redirects them from that concern to say, "Look out. Don't worry about your own power. You are about to receive my power." Some of you need to hear this morning that God wants to lift your eyes from your own concerns of what you have and what you're getting and what you have obtained or what you will gain. And he wants to lift your eyes and say, "Look out. You can receive my power." Jesus says, "Don't be concerned about your rank and power. Receive mine. Don't be fixated on your own position. Look out for those around you who need my resurrection." And his disciples have to be reminded of this again, even in the same story, when Jesus gets just out of their sight. I love this part of the story. I mean, just to imagine that scene. Jesus is rising up into the sky, and it says they're standing there staring, and he's getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until I can't really see him. Can you see him? I can't see him. Is he still there? And then all of a sudden, these two white-robed men, which is such a funny description, two white-robed men are standing among them and they're saying, what are you looking at? Get going. He told you to go to Jerusalem. He's going to send his power to you so you can tell the whole world about him. Stop standing here staring into space. Get going. And off they go to Jerusalem to receive what he has for him, for them. We can live our lives with faith in Jesus, but fixated on heaven, waiting to be with him, concerned with eternity when Jesus has said to us, look out, I've got a purpose for you right here, right now. Get going to Jerusalem. Don't stare into eternity. Look out, I'm sending you to tell others about me. We see Jesus doing this in the Gospels. Matthew and Luke both tell us about it. Matthew chapter 9 says Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area. This is his radius, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw the crowds. He wasn't staring into heaven. He wasn't just concerned with his own self-preservation. He saw the crowds. And one of the ways that the gospel keeps sweeping the globe is by our willingness to see the crowds in need. To see those around us who are confused and helpless and shepherdless, that compassion for others, that willingness to look out and to see them. That's how this influence of the gospel keeps sweeping the globe. Last week I was in the Skid Row district, down on San Pedro and Stanford and Gladys and 6th Street. I went with a few friends. One of them was a friend named Karen Nielsen. Some of you might know Karen. Karen's been part of our church for a long time, and she's been fighting cancer for the last 5 years. Karen used to be part of this group that would go down on a regular basis to serve people down in Skid Row and to share Jesus with those people. But she hasn't been able to go down for 5 years since she's been battling cancer. And she's weak and she's frail, but she keeps telling me, I want to go down, I want to go down, I want to go down. And she said to me not too long ago, I want you to go with me because I want you to see these people through my eyes. And so just last weekend on Sunday morning, I had the honor of going down to Skid Row and pushing Karen in her wheelchair through those streets as she interacted with those people and prayed for them and talked with them and preached to them. It was amazing to see this woman love those people. There were times when she would have a long conversation with somebody, and afterwards I'd say, Karen, did you know that person? And she'd say, no, I don't know them. But she said, but these are my brothers and my sisters. This is my family. It was amazing to watch her love them. Last weekend, I didn't just see Skid Row through Karen's eyes. I saw Skid Row through Jesus's eyes, walking around with Karen down there. Karen's willingness to look out and have compassion on people far outside of her regular radius in life. That's how the gospel keeps sweeping the globe. Just this past week, I also spoke with Al and Stacy Anderson. Some of you know Al and Stacy. They met as young adults here at Christian Assembly several years ago in our young adults ministry. They got married. They were living here in Los Angeles, and they heard that the Czech Republic in Eastern Europe is the most atheistic country in Europe. The statistic is something like 98% of the people of that nation believe that there is no God. And Al and Stacy had such compassion in their response to hearing that statistic that they rearranged their lives, their careers, their language, and moved to the Czech Republic and planted themselves in that nation so that they could begin to tell people about Jesus. That was almost 15 years ago that they made that move. And I was talking to them on the phone this past week, and they were giving me some updates and telling me stories, and they said their radius of influence has expanded from now not just Ostrava in the Czech Republic, but they are now reaching 5 Eastern European nations with the gospel over there. And that's how the gospel keeps sweeping the globe. Carlos Illustra was a successful architect in Malaysia, making good money and living a good life when he was visiting the Philippines, and someone showed him a neighborhood of people living in tremendous poverty in the shadow of a mountain of trash from which they scavenge for survival. And because of Carlos's great compassion, and because of his belief that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, he and his wife Edna left the life they had built and started over in that neighborhood among those people, teaching and serving to lift their children out of poverty. And that's how the gospel keeps sweeping the globe. Julie McGowan Boyd, this young woman, working as a nurse in Los Angeles with a good college education and a good job, no husband, no children, in her 20s, visits Africa, sees people suffering and dying with little to no medical care, and with compassion fueled by the love of Jesus, she leaves her life in L.A., she moves to Africa, and starts serving the dying under the shade of a tree, and now she is transforming healthcare in Kenya and building her second medical center. And that is how the gospel keeps sweeping the globe. Listen, a little church in Los Angeles with parking problems and a maxed out campus looks out. We look out to Kenya and Tanzania and Mexico and the Philippines and Vietnam and Iran and Tajikistan and the Czech Republic. And because we are moved with compassion, we give and we go together to make it possible for the kingdom of God to be proclaimed and put on display. And that is how the gospel keeps sweeping this globe, because you and I are people who are having a global influence with the message of Jesus, because we are not just concerned with our position in eternity and we're not just concerned with ourselves, but we're looking out and we're seeing the crowds who need Jesus and we are moved with compassion, and that is how the gospel keeps sweeping the globe. Secondly, from the very beginning, Jesus' disciples prayed. They prayed. Before a sermon was preached, before a mission trip was planned, before they received the power of God for the mission He gave them, they prayed. Because prayer matters. Prayer reaches further than your words and your actions can reach. Prayer opens doors, softens hearts, and participates in the action of God around the world. This little band of Jesus followers prayed, and they prayed together. This unimpressive circle of friends prayed before they went out and changed the world. You may never leave the city or the country. You may never learn another language or preach the gospel in another culture. You may never serve the dying in Africa or the poor in Manila, but you can pray Talk to Jesus about those in your radius. Talk to Him about the parts of the world where people need to know Him. Pray for others to be equipped and sent out. Pray for the persecuted church in Iran, like we saw in the video. Pray for Christians in Vietnam who meet in secret in forests in the middle of the night to worship Jesus. Pray for them. Pray for the people in Tajikistan who Johnny and Lisa meet, who don't know Jesus but have met Him already in dreams before they knew who He was. Pray for God to send more people out to places like India, where researchers tell us that almost 2,000 people groups have yet to receive the gospel. Pray that God would compel your heart to engage in the mission. Ask Him how He can and will and already has enabled you to reach out. Prayer reaches where you cannot go. Prayer reaches people that you do not know. Prayer is part of what makes the movement of the gospel keep sweeping the globe. Matthew tells us that when Jesus had great compassion on the crowds that He saw, this is what He said to His disciples. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His field. Can God accomplish His purposes without us? Yeah, I think He can. Are His hands tied until we pray? I don't think so. But He says, pray. You might be part of the answer to your own prayer. You might see the answer to your prayer flow out of someone else's life, and you might never see your prayer answered in your lifetime. But pray, because that's how the gospel keeps sweeping the globe. And third and finally, be ready to tell others the message of the good news of Jesus. Be ready to tell the gospel. Cheryl's going to talk about this next week. She's going to talk about sharing the gospel and your life, and you've got to be here to hear what she's going to say. But the gospel keeps sweeping the globe as people keep talking about Jesus. And I want you to be ready to do that. Can you tell the story of Jesus? Can you tell of how Jesus saved you and made you new? Can you tell the old, old story of a Savior come from glory? Can you tell about His love? Can you tell about His grace? Can you tell about His power? Do you know Him? Do you know Him, and can you tell others about this Savior? Do you know that He's Lord? Can you tell the gospel story as your story, as the story of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ become the good news in your life? If so, tell that story. Years after Jesus first preached the gospel to His radius, years after that little band of believers began in Jerusalem to preach to the whole world, there was a man named Paul who heard the gospel and encountered the risen Lord, and his life was forever changed. He became one of those people who left home and took the gospel to new places and new people, and he saw a lot. And one of the things that Paul comments on in all the places that he went, he wrote about in a letter to another city to some believers there. He said, "The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world, and it is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your life from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." Because there is no place where the message of Jesus is irrelevant. There are no people for whom the gospel is not good news. And when you tell others about your faith in that good news, you are a part of this global movement of love and power led by God Himself. You are part of something huge, and the gospel keeps sweeping the globe. We do this together. We look around. We don't place ourselves first. We don't fixate on eternity. We look out with great compassion. And Christian Assembly, this is so true of you. I am so grateful to stand in a place with a community this morning that I can say, you are living this. You are doing this. You are a part of this. The hope of the gospel going around the world, you are helping to fuel that. And I know that we are going to be people who continue in compassion. We are going to be people who continue to put the gospel on display and to proclaim the good news around the world, because we want to see the gospel keep sweeping this globe. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. I want you to hear the story of a man in our church whose life was forever changed because the gospel went around the world and reached him as well. Some of you know Pise Soak. Pise is one of our new pastors on staff serving our young adults community. I've gotten to know him over the last few months, and he is a remarkable man, and I wanted him to have an opportunity to share more of his story with you. Would you welcome Pise? Pise, come on up. Pise, great to have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
So glad to know you and to know your story. You encourage me with your faith. Pise, as I know some of your story, your family was from Cambodia.
Correct.
And because of the killing fields and the violence of the Khmer Rouge, your family fled Cambodia. You were born in a refugee camp
in Thailand.
Mm-hmm. But eventually your family made it to the U.S., settled in Portland,
yep,
specifically in a little apartment complex owned by a man named Reuben James.
Reuben James. Yes.
Tell us about Reuben James.
So Dr. Reuben James Newsom is a man that forever will be in my legacy and the story of God in my life. He was born in 1914 and grew up during the Great Depression, and he was called to be a minister and later served in the U.S. Army as an army chaplain. And as he finished that time, he felt called to go to Portland. And it was there he started his little church and started a ministry called Christ-Centered Ministries. And part of that vision was to just whatever God brought his way, his property, he started a daycare, secondhand stores, different places where people can encounter the gospel. And so at this apartment complex is where my family ended up. And to be honest with you, I didn't even know who he was. He was this old man wearing kind of rough clothes, holding a bucket, picking up trash in the apartment complex. I'm like, who's this dude? And the landlord was like, you know he's the, or the manager was like, you know he's the landlord, right? He owns this place. No. Because if you saw him, you wouldn't think he was the guy that would be flashy or he would be the owner of this apartment complex. So I was compelled by the fact of this guy had all this property, but he just was so humble, even picking up the trash. So then he took one of the apartment units and made it into a little Bible club. He fixed it up, put a piano in there, some chairs, where we sang songs, said Bible verses, got little treats. That's where my brothers and I went, and that's where we heard the gospel. And so my dad said, you know, you can go there, but don't believe anything they say. Take the treats and just go, right? So by the way, I'm not supposed to be a Christian. My father is a Buddhist minister. He helped start the Buddhist temple in Portland. My family is Cambodian, and 80% of the people are Buddhist. I shouldn't be a Christian. Matter of fact, they actually survived and went through the genocide of Cambodia, and I shouldn't have been born.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason I should be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But by the vision of this man, he saw during that time God bringing the nations to his area of influence, his radius. There were Laotian, Vietnamese, Filipino, Eastern Bloc countries, Russian, Ukrainian, Romanian, everybody was up in there. The entire nations were up. And so he saw this. He said, wow, God is bringing the people to me. And so he took me under his wing. He taught me life skills, and he helped me learn about just work ethic. So I was helping fix up the apartment complex one day. I remember he said to me, he said, you know, the most important thing that you should know is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And all
mm-hmm.
these things will be added to you. Because mm-hmm. I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. I was worried about little mm-hmm. things. And then also, ultimately, I remember as I was scraping paint on the wall, he looked over to me and said, you know, Pisa, you may never know. God even may call you to go serve your people. And I was like, yeah, right. I'm just sitting there, whatever. But before I came to CA, I served 3 years in Long Beach, the Cambodian community, which is the largest outside of Cambodia, with those who went through the genocide, mm-hmm. the generation that my family grew up with, the story that my family carried, and I was there to help, again, help process mm-hmm. through all the trauma and everything mm-hmm. that they've gone through.
Isn't that amazing? You know, as, yeah, you can clap.
Praise God.
As I listen to that story of Reuben James, the word that comes to mind is hospitality.
Right.
Here's a man who saw God orchestrating things so the nations were coming into his radius, and he welcomed them.
He did.
What do you think made him hospitable like that?
Part of it is he understood that everything he had was God's resource. And so when people were being brought to his radius, he recognized that he was inviting them into his life. That's where I was brought in. A young kid, you know, fresh off the boat or the plane or whatever. But he saw what God was doing in my life. And he had the faith and the vision to say, I want to invite him and these people into my life.
Yeah.
And that's where ultimately I found Christ. And, or I should say Christ found me.
Yes.
And because of that, when my son was born, I named him Reuben James.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you, Pisa. Thanks for sharing with us. Isn't that incredible? I can't help but think that there are some Reuben James in the room here this morning. That there are some people. God's already given you some resources. He's already given you a way to reach and to even just receive those that God is sending into your radius. And together we're going to be a church that not only receives the message of Jesus, but we are going to keep passing it on to one another and around this world.